Good morning, everyone. It's a special joy to be here. Just a month and 23 years ago, I was married in this church. But that is just a part of my history with Union Church. I first came to Union Church as a 14-year-old because of my dad's job. He worked in the music industry. And we came for a couple of years to Mexico, and Union Church was our home, our churchly home and our churchly family. My parents were part of the choir, and I was part of the youth group with my siblings. And I always had a really special memory regarding Union Church. Then from Mexico, we moved to England. And in England, we didn't find such a nice church as Union Church. What's more, it looked more like one of those horror films, you know, with the cemetery all around it and the gray church and gray sky. So that's when I started to move away from my faith, very slowly but surely, starting to like lose contact with God. And amongst many other excuses I'd put to God, one was, if there was a church like Union Church, then I'd go, but look at this church, it's a horrible place. So those were my excuses. And then when I graduated from university, I moved back to Argentina, and I started my professional life in Argentina, and I felt God's nagging, and kind nagging, of course, and saying, Robbie, I think it's about time you came back and aligned your life with me. It's the best thing for you. And I was saying, no, God, I'm having too much fun. Don't limit me. And if there was a church like Union, maybe I would go. But look, in Argentina, I hadn't even bothered looking for a church there. But I said, no, I don't think there's a church like Union here. So let's just see if this is... There we go. So this continued, and I continued to go, nothing too radical, but way, like just going off my faith road more and more. And when I was in Argentina, I was working for Sony Music there, so I was the host to many artists from Motorhead to Michael Jackson. So all the clubs in Buenos Aires would put their red carpet for me, not because of me, but because of the artists that I'd take to those clubs and open up the VIP, etc. So I'd have a lot of temptations, etc. And God again was saying, you know, Robbie, enough. I think you should get back on track. And I'd use the excuse of if there was a church like Union, I would go. And then professionally, Sony Music invited me to come to Mexico, which I was very excited about because it was a step up in my career. But then I said, oh no, I don't have the excuse anymore not to go to church. So kind of reluctantly, I started coming back to Union Church. And because I work in the music industry, very often on a Saturday night, I'd be working till very late with a show. So I'd be coming off and on the Sundays. And a lovely pastor at that stage, Ken Calvis Mackey, very wisely guided by God, told me, Robbie, why don't you lead the youth group? And it was a cunning way of making me have to come every Sunday, because even if I'd get back home very late, I had the responsibility and the commitment with the youth group every Sunday here. So that's when God fully brought me back on track. And as those of you that live a life with God in the center, you realize that he never limited my fun. What's more, coming back to be with him in my professional life, in all of the aspects of my life, made it a much more colorful and purposeful journey, but I never lost any of the enjoyment and excitement of the life that I had been having while I was away. What's more, it just became even more so. So I just... wanted to share that with you and that for you to understand how important this church is for me. And God uses different people, different situations, different circumstances to bring us back or to help us get back on track. But that was my situation. So before I start, I just would like to bow our heads in prayer. Lord God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, Lord, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. I wanted to share with you, if you want to read it in your pew Bibles, is Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 to 9, Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 to 9. Those of you that have it on an app, it's quicker. And it goes like this. But when the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. Because you are his sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you are his child, God has made you also an heir. Formerly, when you did not know God, you were slaves to those who by nature are not God's. But now that you know God, or rather are known by God, how is it that you are turning back to those weak and miserable forces? Do you wish to be enslaved by them all over again? And then there's another text, so I'll give you a little bit of time. Acts 4, verses 27 to 31. I wanted to throw them out there right at the beginning. So Acts 4, verses 27 to 31. And it's all going to come together in the message. Just to put you in a little bit of context, Acts 4, verses 27. Before that, it's when John and Peter were taken in because they were sharing God's word, and there were more and more believers. They counted over 5,000. And so the governing bodies were getting worried about this, so they rebuked them and told them off and warned them not to talk about this Jesus Christ again. So they are leaving. They had just been set free from that, and they join with the rest of the apostles. And this is the prayer that they did during that. We're coming into part of the prayer. So remember, it's a prayer, so they are talking to God. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in this city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. So I decided to title the talk, Set Free to Serve. It sounds like a contradiction. If you're free, you don't really want to serve, but it's amazing to serve in the context of Christianity, of our faith. So set free. We are redeemed. Set free by the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross, and we are adopted as the sons and daughters of God. So we're adopted directly as sons and daughters of God. As it says in the text, because you are his sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but God's child. We are God's child. And since you are his child, God has named you also an heir. So we are heirs, and that gives us great power, because we are heirs to God, the huge force that created everything and is in control of everything. We are directly his children. And it reminds me of a story when, in one of those moments of my life when I was moving between Argentina, Mexico, and England, I was an intern in Sony Music in Argentina. Really, I didn't want to go into the music industry. I just wanted to go back to Argentina to be with my friends from my childhood. And in my university in England, they gave me a chance to go to Argentina if I could find a job. So I wrote to all kinds of companies that were not involved in music, but no one wanted to know anything about an Argentine British guy working for a year. In those days, internships were not so common. So as a spoiled child I was, I went to my dad and said, Dad, can you help me get a job for a year as part of my internship of my studies at the University in England? And he had worked all his life in the music industry, so his only contacts were in the music industry in Argentina. So I said, it doesn't matter if it's the music industry, I just want to go back to Buenos Aires and hang out with my friends for a year. So he spoke to the general manager of Sony Music Argentina, and I went to do my internship there. And during my internship, you know, for interns, it's kind of difficult. I don't know if it is today, but for us, and for me in particular, it was no one ever wanted to really delegate work to me. So I'd do all the boring chores of filing, etc. I was usually just sitting in my desk in the corridor, hoping someone would call me and ask me to do something useful for them. And one day the marketing director calls me, and I get all excited. I say, oh, good, now I'm going to be useful. And it's the marketing director. He's really important in the company. So I go all excited to his office, and he's with a person in the office who apparently had worked with my dad at some stage. So he says to me, Robbie, walk around the office a little bit, please. So I walked around the office and come back, and I said, yes, sir, what do you need? And he asked the guy, who do you think he's the son of? And the guy says, oh, John Lear. Yes, oh, yes, he's John Lear's son. Wow, John Lear was such a great guy, such a great executive, etc. And I was like, okay, Mr. Piombi, so what can I do for you? No, no, go back to your desk. It's fine. Thank you very much. And so I dejectedly walked back to my desk in the passageway. And I think of this text where we're spoken that we are God's children. And I think about that. And I sometimes wonder if my walk in life actually reflects my Father in heaven. If, like with my dad there in the office, immediately someone at work or in whatever daily activities I'm doing in my life, they see myself, my God, my Father reflected in me. And I think very often they don't. In many circumstances, especially when I let my ego take control and move the Holy Spirit out of the center of my life. And I wanted to ask you to make that reflection. How much do you reflect your Father in your daily lives? And how much do we have to work on that in our daily lives so that we are much more aligned along that side? But then there's another side to it, which I draw the analogy also with my dad, is that my dad was a great music executive, so I always felt I was much less than him. What's more, he actually sang and produced music really well and was a great executive. I can't sing to save my life, not even in the shower. And so I always had that feeling of, oh, I got that job because of my dad, but I'm not as good as him. And I had that feeling that as soon as they'd realize in Argentina that I wasn't as good as him, I'd move on to another country until they'd realize there, and I could probably scheme about 20 years' work, you know, jumping from country to country. And then I realized that I had my own abilities, but I had a lot of abilities that I had inherited from him without even realizing. But that happens so much more in a greater way when we have God as our Father, and we can really believe and understand that we are heirs to God, and that as heirs, we have His Holy Spirit in our lives that helps us and gives us the ability, the wisdom, and the power to be able to do much better things than we could ever imagine ourselves. So that's something that I wanted to touch upon today, is that yes, we are set free because Christ on the cross redeemed us from our sins. He brought us salvation. He took the burden upon His own shoulders. As we are singing today, He was crucified for us. So we were set free. But sometimes we don't understand what that means, or sometimes we need to be refreshed in that. First of all, to accept it and understand it. I don't know where each of you are at in your journey of life. Some of you maybe have had Christ in your heart all of your lives and are solid with it. Some of you maybe were born with it, but then lost it on the way, a bit like me, and are looking for the way back or have found your way back. Maybe some of you have never had Christ in your heart fully. Maybe you've heard about Him, but you've never made that step. And I'd love to encourage you that it's never a bad moment to be able to accept Christ fully into your life. And if you already have Him in, for you to refresh His presence through His Holy Spirit and through that belief that you are His son, that you are His daughter, and that you can perform beautiful things for Him and serve Him in a beautiful way. And to know that He loves you enormously, more than you could ever imagine, and He's always looking for what's best for you in your life. So sometimes we feel like God is, some people have that image of the God that's waiting to tell you off and correct you, etc. And really he's that prodigal father that has his open arms and is wanting to hug you and give you his love and give you his wisdom and his power for your day-to-day life. And he's never promised that everything's going to be a bundle of roses, life is just going to flow and be a very easy ride. We know that there's always going to be trouble and difficulties in our life, but what he does do is to promise us that he's going to help us through those difficulties, and he's going to be with us through those situations that we will be encountering in our lives. So we are sons and daughters of God, and we have to believe it. As they say in Mexico, tienes que creértela. You really have to believe that it's true, because it is true. But then, once we've got him in our lives, a bit like my story, we fall back into slavery. That's it. Set free, and we fall back into slavery. In case you are trying to work it out, there's no hidden message with the photos. I thought I'd wait till the end, but I couldn't be that cruel. My mum's talking to me on this ear saying, Robbie, don't be so cruel. Really, I love traveling around Mexico, and I love taking photos around Mexico, and I love the colorful markets in Mexico. So this was a market in Pátzcuaro on our way to Ixtapa a few months ago, and I just wanted to show off those nice photos. So, yes, we are set free, but very often we fall back into slavery. And the text says there in Galatians, but now that you know God, or rather are known by God, how is it that you are turning back to those weak and miserable forces? Do you wish to be enslaved by them over again? So we've accepted Christ, we've lived in, I even remember when I was confirmed at 13, and when I was here at Union in the youth group, I was bubbling with the Holy Spirit. I really felt strong in faith. But then when I started to move away from my faith, I started to invent all these stories that being a person of faith is the most boring thing you could do. It's a gray life. And I started to put those excuses that I was mentioning to you before. And it's not like that. What is it that makes us, what are those things that enslave us? What is it that distracts us from being able to live a fully maximized life with God? And I've just written down some. You probably have some that are clear in your own lives. But one first one maybe is fear. Fear of what might happen, of what people might say. That often used to happen to me at school in England, for example. The guys, the cool guys of the school, their creed was almost don't believe in God and hate your parents. No? So if I'd come back on a Monday and they'd ask me, what did you do on Sunday? I was embarrassed to say that I'd been at church. And I just kept it hidden because it was fear of what people might say. Anxiety. Sometimes I've realized I've become independent at work. Before, for 25 years, I worked in multinationals where I knew that every month I'd have my pay package, my salary, I had my car, my insurance, etc. And I've been for 5 years now independent, where you have to generate that money each month that goes by, and hopefully for it to be enough to be able to pay the salaries of our company and the rent, etc., etc. So that's brought to me a whole new world of possible anxiety. And I realize when I'm most anxious is when I'm most far away from God, when I'm letting myself dictate and think that I'm under control and not God that's under control, that's controlling my life and letting him lead my life. So anxiety is one. Slave to self and your selfish desires. And then I through those selfish desires, obviously we can think of pride, envy, greed for money or power or anything else, lust, anger, laziness, gluttony. All those things that pull us away from being able to have a fulfilling relationship, an intimate relationship with God. When my ego takes control of me, I always feel like I'm pushing away the Holy Spirit, and I feel like the ego is in the control system of my life. And then when I look for God and I look for his presence, it's the Holy Spirit taking control, and it helps things flow so much better. So, We must persevere to fulfill our purpose. It's not an easy ride, as we were saying. And in the text of Acts that I read to you before, it says, "Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus." After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. When I'm going through moments of weakness in my faith, sometimes I think that I should be taking care of myself and not taking care of other people. And there's a great wisdom in the Bible when Christ says, when they ask him which is the most important commandment, and he says, "Love God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and with all your strength." And then immediately after he says, "And love your neighbor." Immediately after. He doesn't say, "First love me and get right with me and then love your neighbor." He says it almost in the same phrase. And sometimes I feel like when I'm apart from God, I'm going through a difficult situation, I say, I'm not ready for it. I can't go out and help when I'm not okay myself. But time and time again, God has shown that it's the opposite way. That when I'm going through a difficult situation, the best solution is to serve. To focus instead of on myself, to focus on other people that I can help. And it's been an amazing thing throughout my life. And it's been beautiful and helped me a lot. God's will is going to always be done. And it's lovely to be a part of that will and to be able to lift up our hands and be involved in the fulfilling of God's will here on earth. And it's not worth wasting time thinking, "No, I'm not ready," or "No, I'm not worthy," or "I can't do it." We all have beautiful talents. And in those difficult moments where we think we have nothing to give, the Holy Spirit takes over and will give you the words or give you the situations where you can serve. But we have to be sensitive to that prompting of the Holy Spirit in our lives. I so often get onto a plane and I feel the Holy Spirit saying, "Talk to the guy next to you. He needs to listen to you, to God, about something about God. He's going through something difficult." And I ignore that prompting, and I put on the headphones, put on the movie, so that they don't even bother me throughout the flight. I just don't want to talk to anyone. I just want to vegetate in the plane. But there's so many opportunities where one can share God's word and share what God does for us in a day-to-day situation. And sometimes it could feel overbearing. You could think, "Oh, no, I can't do this." But that phrase of just one step at a time is worth it. It's worth you just being sensitive to the Holy Spirit and where it is guiding you to. Praying is so important to be able to help you be sensitive to that, starting every morning praying. The flash prayers help me every day a lot. When I'm walking into a meeting or going on to something, it's just a quick prayer of, "Lord, help me not to say anything stupid in this meeting, please, you know, for once. Guide me in this situation, or show me the way, amen." And it's just a short flash prayer. Just to have that presence of the Spirit in our lives. Reading the scriptures, of course, we always talk about that, but it's so important so that we're learning from such interesting and fulfilling stories that have happened in the past that can help us in the present and towards the future. Fellowship with other believers. This is lovely always to be sharing with the family of Christ and to be able to get involved, each of us, in a weekly, you know, a middle of the week Bible study or community gathering, etc. So important to be able to encourage each other as believers. Reaching out is something key as well. Reaching out to help people. In the text it says, perform signs and wonders, which is serving other people's needs. Signs and wonders could be from an amazing miracle to just saying a word to someone that helps them in light a situation that was difficult and they were going through. And God uses us to be able to help in those situations. And also, obviously, reaching out to be able to help organizations that already exist and really stepping out there to be able to help. I love this phrase, and it was a last-minute thing that I added because I had put it up into my Facebook a year ago, and last night, you know how Facebook suddenly tells you, "A year ago you posted this, my dear friend Robbie," And you're thinking, yeah, my dear friend Robbie, how are you using me this time, you know? Who are you selling my information to this time? But this was one that I thought, wow, it really goes with what we're talking about today. And it says, John Wesley famously said, "Do all the good you can, by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, as long as ever you can." And it's a beautiful thing to have impregnated in our hearts, that we're looking to do that good in whatever way it is, with sensitivity, with love, with faith, being understanding where the person is at. We did a course called Alpha in the Hard Rock Cafe once, and one of our things was to be able to be sensitive enough and give God's message out in a relevant way. Not just Bible bashing and saying, you've got to repent, you've got to repent, but listening to the other people, where they are at, and how you can relevantly share with them God's word. So, to close, how can we serve? Where can we serve? And there's many different ways, and I just wrote down some that we are involved in here at Union Church. First, the Union Church ministries. Always the kids' ministry, as they were talking before, the youth ministry, ushering, whatever it is, there's a lot of need of people volunteering here at Union Church. So it would be lovely for you to be sensitive and think if the Holy Spirit is prompting you to do anything in the church ministries. Adulam, the prison ministry, a lot of you donated and helped buy Bibles, study Bibles, which a lot of you also signed in the patio. We went into the jail a few weeks ago and gave those study Bibles to the people in the jail, and it was amazing to see their joy and their happiness receiving this. And not just receiving those study Bibles, but knowing that there's a community, a family like Union Church that is praying for them and that is always thinking about them and going to visit them. So they sent their gratitude enormously to you guys, and we're so fulfilled by how we help them. We're planning in September to go back to the jail. So if anyone is interested and the Spirit is prompting them in those lines, we'll be giving more information about that shortly. But let me know if you're wanting to get involved. And then in December, we're going to be doing a big event. Last year, we took a Christian rap artist called Fermín Cuarto, who used to have a band called Control Machete, and the whole jail went crazy, and it was really beautiful. And it was a visiting day, so it was not just the prisoners, but also their families. And Fermín gave a beautiful message, apart from his great rhymes and hip-hop flow, which was amazing. I'm trying to do my hip-hop thing. And then Mosaico Urbano, Urban Mosaic. I don't know how many of you are familiar with that, but it's a lovely thing that as Union Church we have got involved in. Basically, they are here in Mexico to help poverty-stricken areas, to help them construct community. If there's need for water, they'll help them construct a well, but they get the community involved in that, and it's really a beautiful, beautiful organization. They were very well positioned when the earthquake came to help a lot of people in the demolition and reconstruction of homes, especially in Morelos, and we got involved as a church with them as well. So that's another area that's important and interesting that you can get involved with. They will be having on November 8th and through 10th a visit to Texcoco, where they've got their headquarters, to give more information about what they're doing in the poverty-stricken areas of the city. So if that's your prompting, talk to Barry or me, and we can help you connect with Urban Mosaic, Mosaico Urbano. Then there's El Pozo de Vida. I don't know how many of you have been involved with that, but that's a beautiful organization that dedicates themselves to eradicating the trafficking of people. The situation of sex trade, etc., is really something incredible. There's more than 27 million people in the world that are in slavery in these days, and one would think that was long gone, and it's very prevalent, especially in Mexico. And in their case, there's a lot of sex trafficked women. And we've been to visit them, and there's girls from 8 years old till 18 years old that they've rescued from that. And it's beautiful what they are doing. And every third, it's every third weekend of the month, they go and to two areas that are prevalent with sex service, and take music. They give them roses. They talk to the girls there and look for opportunities to be able to rescue them. So they organize those visits. So it's if that's something that's in your heart, you could probably get involved. It's amazing. I was in contact with Benny Yu, who leads that. And he was telling me that they've been chosen. I've got to read this because I'm very bad in technical terms. So now they are technical advisors for the Regional Anti-Trafficking Coalition, providing training to federal governments from Panama to Mexico. So their area of influence and the way God is using them is growing from Mexico to the rest towards Central America. So that's another area that one can get involved in. Yeah, these are called block parties when they go, and it's every third Saturday of the month, and they visit the red light districts, and they bring food, music, fun, and prayers. So if you are interested, their Facebook page is El Pozo de Vida, so you could check out in the Facebook page, or ask me and I could connect you with Benny. Obviously, there's another one that we've been very happy to see as it's gone developing, which is Iglesia, which is the Spanish-speaking church that is already running full throttle and growing in a beautiful way. If you are a Spanish speaker and want to get involved there and serve there, great opportunities to help out there with Duane and Liliana. You can get involved. And the final thing that I wanted to share with you is Alpha. I don't know how many of you know what Alpha is. When I was working in the music industry, we started, as I mentioned before, doing Alpha courses in the Hard Rock Cafe in Mexico City. And basically, Alpha is something that was born in a church in England called Holy Trinity Brompton. And what it is meetings where people that do not know God and do not have a faith can feel comfortable to ask questions about faith and about life in general and not feel judged, not feel Bible bashed, etc. And so we have decided as a church in the fall to start an Alpha series. They last around 10 weeks. It's once a week. And then in the middle, they have a Holy Spirit weekend. It's great because each session is asking very basic questions about why the church, why pray, how to pray, why read the Bible, how to read the Bible. It's like going back to basics. So it's a beautiful opportunity for you, if you already have faith, to invite someone that doesn't have faith to be able to learn about that and ask questions and not feel judged. But also it's beautiful for those of us who have faith and have been walking in it for quite a while to be able to be refreshed and to remember the basics of why we have that faith and re-engage there. And also we could serve there. Either we can just go take someone and be part of it and that's enough of a service, but also you can volunteer to help and be someone there. So if it's all right by you, we'll put a video that summarizes in a couple of minutes what Alpha is and see what you think. So we'll be giving more information, but the idea is to start that in the fall. So if you want to get involved, that'd be great. Is Kelly around here? If she wants to just stand up, because Kelly and I will be in the patio, and if you want to ask any questions, Kelly and I can help out with that. Okay, so I'd like to just close in prayer and say, we kneel before the Father from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. We pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen us with power through his Spirit in our inner being, so that Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith. And we pray that being rooted and established in love, we may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that we may be filled to the measure and overflow with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.